NWP Radio.
You're listening to NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project.
NWP.
Welcome, listeners. This is NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. Today is February 19th, 2023, and we are talking with Cindy Urbanski, author of Getting Schooled on Resistance. Cindy, let's start by you introducing yourself or reintroducing yourself to our listeners. Let's start by what I know you have a writing project story. What's your writing project story?
So I've been with Writing Project since 1999. I am proud to admit, and a little bit like, wow, since 1999. So I was standing in my kitchen in Mocksville, North Carolina at about 8 o'clock at night. And Lil Brannon, who we all know and love, called me out of the blue and said, I hear you're thinking about a master's program at UNC Charlotte. Let me talk to you about the writing project. And she said the magic words, 6 free graduate credits. And I said, that sounds like something I'd be interested in. I had no idea what I was getting into, and sailed into a summer institute at the start of my master's program and never looked back. It has been deeply a part of my life, these many, many years. It is where, I always wanted to write, but it was where I developed my writer identity. It is what taught me how to teach writing, although I was teaching writing prior to that. I was teaching to the test. It taught me how to teach writing and have children pass the test. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
And it taught me how to work with other teachers in the teaching of writing. And from there, I went on into a PhD program where I leaned heavily on all of my writing project stuff. And I wrote my dissertation in a style that is not dissertation-y at all. Thanks to the writing project, who told me that I was a good storyteller and I should just tell the story.
Mm-hmm. That is an excellent writing project story. I just love to collect them. So thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
And then more casually, we like to ask you just a drop, just a crazy question about who you are. And since it's February, could you tell us something that everyone who knows you knows that you love?
Food. Food is my love language. I love to cook. And I just spent the morning, we have a writing retreat planned for this weekend, and I just spent the morning making homemade beet hummus, homemade regular hummus, homemade goddess dressing, homemade egg bites, homemade bone broth, homemade spaghetti sauce for lasagna to set up for this retreat. And it just brings me great joy to feed people really good, really wholesome food.
That's lovely. And it's a thing I didn't really know about you before. So, Cindy, we're here to talk about a book and your book. So tell NWP listeners what brings you to the show today.
So in 2016, my dissertation was published traditionally under the title Untangling Urban Middle School Reform. And it's a good book. I stand by it. I stood by it then. And I didn't, at that time in my life, I didn't have a lot of time to do marketing, and the publisher didn't do any marketing either. And so while my book about the workshop classroom in the high school English realm has done really, really well, the Untangling book kind of fell by the wayside. And I have, since post-pandemic world, pulled it back out of the archives and revisited it, and really felt like it was important and timely, especially now. And so I reclaimed it from traditional publishing, and I have independently published it under the title I wanted it to have to begin with, which is Getting Schooled on Resistance, because it is not a book about middle school. It is a book about K-12 education in the United States. And it just, the case study happened to take place in a middle school.
That's a really good case. And I actually always thought that this book was probably getting only the attention of middle schools, and then probably not the right people who would be asking different questions about middle school than your book answered. So why getting schooled about resistance?
Because this, the thinking in this book stands on the shoulders of resistant thinkers like Foucault and Freire, but it is not an overly theoretical book. It just says, yeah, Freire had it right, and Foucault knew what he was talking about. And here's some kids who schooled us on what resistance really looks like. And it sort of takes the bad kid moniker and good kid moniker and critiques that, along with bad teacher and good administrator and bad administrator, and shows that really that those bad kids, all of us bad kids, and I consider myself one of them, the ones that push against the grain are the ones that are critical thinkers. Mm-hmm. And the ones that set the world on fire. And so what we're doing in education is we are presenting this canned, what I call canned curriculum to students, even more now that there's a Chromebook on every desk.
Yep.
And you click through the buttons and you do the thing and you give back what's been given to you. And if you get outside the box just a little bit, then you've done the wrong thing and you're a bad student. And the book is about we look at some good students performing good students, but one particular bad student who refused to do the assignment because she had thoughts about it and did it her own way. It was brilliant. Her teacher didn't know if he wanted to let me see it because she hadn't done the assignment. And I was like, oh no, that's the one I want to see. This is my girl right here. And she was very cagey when I interviewed her at first because she was like, why is this woman talking to me? But after after we got to know each other, she was like, it was Holocaust diaries they were rewriting. So there was this big emotional thing. Everybody wrote these big emotional pieces. People were crying. Administrators were called in. And this young woman sat in the corner like this through the whole thing. Hers was not read. And her whole diary was about liberation. And the joy that she felt at the liberation and the new life she was going to have at the liberation. And it's an incredibly, incredibly powerful piece that she got a D minus on because she didn't do the assignment.
Oh.
That's exactly the reaction I was hoping I would get.
Oh, I'm thinking about this so much right now. And I know you are as well, which is why you've brought the book back. You've said some about this, about post-COVID, about Chromebooks on every desk. I mean, I think we could also say ChatGPT on every browser. But what else do you want to tell listeners about why this book, even though you wrote it in 2016, is more relevant today than ever?
Because we have been gifted by the pandemic a chance to reevaluate how we do school. And in my opinion, we are not taking that gift. And I want it in the hands of policymakers and thinkers and pre-service teachers. Yes, absolutely. I want them to have the power to speak back to these scripted curriculums that they're handed. And because new teachers don't feel like they empowered to do that. I've been a new teacher. I've been there. It was a long time ago, but I have been there. And administrators, when they're looking at curriculums that are being handed down to them and purchasing curriculums that they think are going to help their students, and policymakers who are saying we have to buy these really expensive curriculums, mm-hmm. when we could use the Chromebooks on every desk for good to let children think and explore and learn and get way on outside the box. And sometimes even just use a pencil and paper. We could do that. That might be crazy. But, I mean, we could do that too. I just want us all that are in education in some way thinking about what it means to educate. Mm-hmm. When we say we want critical thinkers out of one side of our mouth, and then out of the other side, we're saying, don't you get ahead.
Don't you read that book?
Don't you read that book? Yeah. What are you supposed to do when you're finished early? You're supposed to sit there. So this is why this book is important, because these issues are the same issues they were in 2016, and quite frankly, the same issues they were in 1992 when I was in high school, and the 80s and before that. They haven't gone away, and so they're still incredibly relevant. And I think the stories of these teachers and these students who so kindly let me tell their stories really illustrate what we are doing as a society to children specifically who are in a certain socioeconomical situation. Because also in the book, there is a sister school under the same grant that is very affluent. And those students are told to think outside the box, told to think critically, and asked to do what the bad student in the book did and get kudos for that, right. Not D minuses.
Right. So you've caught me at a particular time of grant cycles, Cindy. So I've been thinking a lot about how do we do research in schools. So do you want to say a little bit about the nature of this research as well?
Absolutely. And that's another reason I wanted to get this book out there. I want it in the hands of teacher researchers. Because it is a piece of teacher research.
Right.
And I started to say that's all it is, and that's incorrect. That's everything that it is. It's boots on the ground teacher research.
Yeah.
And I want it in the hands of graduate students, doctoral students, people doing research who think it has to be all about the numbers. This is straight up qualitative research. It uses tools like critical discourse analysis and activity theory. And while those sound a little heavy, I tell the story of critical discourse analysis in the same way I just told you the story about a good student and a bad student. I have a conversational tone. It's the only way I know to be. And I think it's palatable in the book. And I hope the book empowers other teachers, classroom teachers, to get in there and do their own research in their own classrooms with their own students, and not leave that to the people in the ivory tower who are not as deeply connected to your students. Now I'm speaking directly to those teachers. They are not as deeply connected to your students as you are.
Yeah.
And if someone's going to help tell their story, you want it to be someone who is deeply connected to them. And you can say to the student, hey, this is the story I'm going to tell about you. Are you okay with that?
Right.
What would you like the world to know?
Right. I feel like you've answered this in lots of different ways, but I'd love for listeners to hear a kind of distillation. You obviously love this book. This book came out of your heart and continues to live in your heart, and you have therefore, you know, wrestled it back to availability and visibility. So what are your hopes and dreams for this book out in the world?
I would love it in teacher book clubs. I would love it in the hands of policymakers. Maybe the policymakers should have a book club.
Yeah, they should.
I would love it in pre-service classrooms. I would love it in qualitative research classrooms. I would love it at every level of education, pre-service through dissertation. And I would love it as a part of National Writing Project literature. Mm-hmm. And the teacher research programs that so many sites are opening and leading and encouraging teachers to be a part of, because, and I think that's probably the nearest and dearest to my heart, mm-hmm. is because of the beauty of that work and the information that is so powerful that comes out of that work, where we can really make some change in education from the people who are boots on the ground, doing the work, showing up every day without a bathroom break and getting it done. So just a few hopes and dreams. I want everybody to read it.
I've started to talk about the writing project space as a space of joyous rebellion. And this is a great example, Cindy. So the book is called Getting School Done Resistance. I feel like you've convinced me that every writing project site needs a book club group set of these books. I'm sure other listeners are thinking of how they might want one for themselves or how they would use it. I think they need it. I think we all need this book. So where and when can people find it?
It drops on February 29th. It will be on Amazon. Our friends at Amazon will have it. There is a Kindle version and that you can pre-order now, but you won't have it in your hands until the 29th. And then the book paperback version comes out also on the 29th. And you may also order it through Barnes & Noble. I know a lot of universities use Barnes & Noble for their students. So it is attainable that way.
So that's excellent. Thank you, Cindy. I told you at the top of the hour before we hit record that while I was preparing for this, I found the original radio show that you did when the book first came out, and Tom Fox was your interviewer. And we'll make sure people can find a link to your first excitement about this book when they've heard this way that you're bringing it back to us all. I want to thank you for your writing project presence over many years, some years. Sorry, I don't want to emphasize the many. Over
many, many, many,
over
many,
all
many.
This time and all you do to feed teachers and students metaphorically and literally.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
It's been great to talk to you,
You're
Cindy.
Listening
Thanks.
To NWP Bye. Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. NWP. NWP Radio.